This edition of Nation Talk is being brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.
Hello, listeners. This is Nagashwa Sega, and you're tuned in to another edition of Nation Talk Radio. And we have the pleasure of being joined by Jason Ryle, the Executive Director for Imaginative, today. And we obviously have a very big upcoming event, the Imaginative Film Festival. So I'm glad Jason could find some time for us. But first, tell our listeners maybe more about yourself and how you've enjoyed your time as the Executive Director for Imaginative, Jason.
Absolutely. Well, I've been with Imaginative for a total of, this is my 11th festival. I've been with the festival for 10 years, but this is only my third as executive director, and needless to say, it's been probably the best job of my life. I have always had an interest in independent arts and independent film, and Imaginative somehow found me. And I take a lot of satisfaction from being able to say for the first time in my professional life that I feel like I'm where I'm supposed to be and doing the job that I'm supposed to be doing, and that's incredibly rewarding.
That's something I know a lot of our listeners are always striving for, and for the ones that have found it, I'm sure they can understand the peace of mind you have and at the same time the amount of work you put in, because people love to strive for the things they really care about.
Definitely. I mean, it's a hard job. I mean, that's without a doubt. It's really a challenging job. It's a very rewarding job. It's a year-round job. I mean, aside from our annual festival, which certainly takes up most of our time and is the focus of our year, we also have our annual Imaginative Film and Video Tour, which takes place in the winter, and the Indigiflex Community Screening Series, which we host here in Toronto at the beginning of each year.
It's funny you mentioned the tour. I know that's actually a great way, if you don't get the opportunity, for those listeners to get down to Toronto for the festival. I believe you guys actually show some of the submissions during this.
That's right. So far to date, we've only held the tour within Ontario. We do some co-presentation screenings with different partners across Canada and around the world, but the actual tour to date has so far been only in Ontario, focusing mostly on northern communities, First Nations, and communities with large Indigenous populations. So we always take a program of youth-made works or works suitable for youth, and we show those at schools in these different communities. But we also show a feature film for the community at large in the evenings with it, in addition to our youth video-making workshop that we provide to certain communities as well.
That's great. Well, for those communities who are listening and who are enticed by something like that, maybe you should try and get in touch with Imaginative, but we'll get to all that in a little bit. Now back to the film festival. Last year's was an amazing success. Incredible movies, lots of submissions. Tell us how it was to be a part of that and your excitement for this year's 13th Imaginative Festival.
Yeah, we're a teenager this year, and thank you. I mean, it was an incredible year last year. It was a very emotional one for me. Obviously, it was my first full festival as executive director, so obviously there were a lot of nerves, there was a lot of excitement associated with that, and certainly for it to be as successful as it was incredibly rewarding for myself, but for all of us here on the team. We had more films and programs than ever before. We had a 34% increase in box office. We had a massive increase in audience as well, and I think, this doesn't necessarily just speak to the team behind Imaginative, and I think what's exciting every year is it really speaks to the quality of work that's being created by Indigenous artists. The festival wouldn't be what it is without their work, without their trust that they put in us to present their work, and the community that comes to it that really makes it all a success. So it's a huge team effort from every end, and again, one of the most exciting things about the job, and also definitely one of the most difficult, is the programming. The programming team every year really has it cut out for them. There's so many incredible things that are submitted, and ultimately deciding what's programmed and what's not is very emotional, very hard, but again, it is incredibly enjoyable all at the same time.
Glad to hear such passion. And I know with this being the 13th annual, for those listeners who've had a chance to attend previous ones, and for the new ones that will be coming up this year, what are some new and exciting things that the audience can expect this time around?
We always try to present work that really is at the forefront of film, video, radio, and new media. And again, as I said, our programming every year really depends on the type of work that is submitted to us. So it's incredible to see the different types of themes that emerge every year in terms of the film and video work that's submitted, and being able to craft shorts programs around specific themes, to build programs and screenings around different ideas is really rewarding as a programmer. So this year, we have as our opening night the world premiere of the newest documentary by Alanisa Bomswen, obviously a Canadian legend and one of the legends of Indigenous cinema worldwide. It's a documentary called The People of the Katawapiskak River, and it looks at it's a documentary that focuses on the lives of the people of the Attawapiskat First Nation. And of course, we all know Attawapiskat from the international headlines that they made this past winter. But Alanisa, in her typical fashion, she really takes us behind the media uproar to the actual homes of people of Attawapiskat, and as they reveal their hopes, their fears for the future, and really gives an incredible snapshot of them as a people. And I think that was something that was really missing in the coverage of Attawapiskat when it happened. Also, in addition to Alanisa's opening gala, we also have a small exhibition of her print work. A lot of people don't know that she's actually a really accomplished printmaker as well. So we have a small exhibition of her work happening at Open Studio here in Toronto as well, of course, from the 17th until the 20th. And they really give an incredible indication of her diversity of talent and just, again, her incredible vision when it comes to art. And she makes these prints largely as a meditative or creative endeavor when she's making films or after filmmaking. So there's a really strong connection to her documentary work as well through her exhibition. The other exhibition that we have this year is a group exhibition called Concealed Geographies, and it looks at Indigenous understandings and concepts of geographical places and maps, and it's a really interesting kind of focus about exploration of territory and boundaries and Indigenous conceptions around that. Of course, we have a great selection of film and video work at the TIFF Bell Lightbox happening again this year from Thursday until the Sunday. Our closing night film is this incredible film called The Lesser Blessed. And for those for whom the title is familiar, it's based on Richard Van Camp's incredible story of the same title. And it stars a newcomer named Joel Evans, who's absolutely fantastic. He's from Fort Smith in Northwest Territories. Never acted before. You would never guess it. And it also stars Benjamin Bratt from Law & Order. A lot of people know who he is. Kiowa Gordon, who is one of only, I think, two or three actual Native American werewolves in the Twilight saga, and Tamara Podemski, who people might know from Four Sheets to the Wind and many other work that she's done. So aside from our film and video work, we also have our radio and our new media components, two components which have been part of the festival since day one. So again, we really try to find new ways to present this work to our audiences. The feedback has been phenomenal, but again, really, it's only new and exciting because the work that's being created by Indigenous artists is always new and exciting.
Honestly, a program like that with that many exciting things, our audience, I'm sure, are going to be willing to travel from far and wide. And for those in Toronto, I'm sure they're going to be coming out. And again, what I'd like to touch upon now, though, is some challenges and some other successes you've encountered throughout the year. Putting together a program like that, I'm sure, isn't easy.
No, it isn't. I mean, there's always some challenges and success, obviously, throughout the year. I mean, in particular, again, probably easily the most challenging thing every year is actually deciding which films to include in the program and which not to. I mean, the programming team is made up of 7 people, artists, arts organizers, and everyone has had the experience of being rejected from a film festival as an artist, including myself. And, you know, you understand how devastating that can be, how upsetting that can be, how confounding that can be as well. And unfortunately, the nature of film festivals is you ultimately have to reject more work than actually you can program. It's an unfortunate reality to the film festival industry. Again, we always wanted to get to a point with Imaginative where we were able to craft programs, thematic programs, based on the submissions we received. We got to that point several years ago, but unfortunately, the other side effect of that was that we had to end up saying no to certain works that we really obviously love, and that happens every year. And I think that's probably the most challenging thing, is every year there's always work that you personally really care about, that you really love, but doesn't just fit from a thematic point of view, from a timing point of view, or whatever it may be. There's so many factors that come into deciding which films get programmed, and it is definitely one of the most challenging aspects of it.
Well, it's good to hear that you have actual previous submitters, though, in other festivals, because as you mentioned, it's an intangible feeling, I think, to find that the feeling of not having something accepted. So it sounds eye-opening, essentially, and I'm sure other festivals try to strive to that, too. So it's great to hear Imaginative is doing that as well. What I'd like to now touch upon is, again, I know this might be a little hard for you being the program developer for everything and having a great team working with you as well, but maybe do you have some personal favorites that you'll be making sure to get to the opening screenings, and any recommendations as well for our listeners other than just getting through the entire program, because it's going to be an amazing few days.
Yeah, absolutely. Of course, you want everyone to spend their entire waking day at what we're offering, but that's not possible. And again, I'll speak sort of from my own personal point of view. One of the things I'm really excited about this year, we're doing this incredible partnership with Patterson One Stop and with Amnesty International Canada that we're calling the Stolen Sisters Digital Initiative. And obviously, for those who are familiar, Stolen Sisters, the term refers to the missing or presumed murdered Aboriginal women across Canada, which number almost 600. This is a national tragedy, of course, that really isn't made one in the media. We commissioned four Aboriginal artists from across the country to create four one-minute silent films that speak to the power, importance, creativity, beauty of Indigenous women in this country. And the four works are phenomenal. And the cool thing about them is that they're actually going to be shown on the subway monitors of the TTC, the Toronto Transit Commission, on every stop on the subway system in Toronto, which is an audience of 1.3 million people a day. But on top of that, Patterson One Stop also has them on, I believe, 33 shopping center monitors across the country. So allowing hundreds of thousands of more Canadians to see these important works. And for information on where to see which shopping centers have these have the works showing, if you go to our website, which is imaginenative.org/SSDI, which stands for Stolen Sisters Digital Initiative, they can find all the information there. Speaking of film and video works, I think my personal favorite is a documentary called Canned Dreams, which we're playing Friday evening at 7:15. And it's a documentary by a Sami filmmaker from Finland named Katja Gorlas. And it was really, for me, it's a masterful documentary. It really just captures so much of where we are today as a society. Essentially, the inspiration she got for this documentary, she was eating a tin of food, a can of food, and reading the ingredients and the origin of all the ingredients in this one tin of food, and was shocked to read that there were eight countries involved in the production of this one can. So she goes back, she basically traces the origin of this can right from the nickel miners in Brazil to the pig farmers in Romania. And the documentary meets the people behind the production and fabrication of a single tin of food. And it really is incredible. I mean, it just captures so much in terms of where we are globally, how we forget where our food comes from, how we don't even think often where our food comes from. And it really is an eye-opener.
I hate to let you go, Jason. You've been a great guest, but I'm going to end with a couple of things. First being, for those listeners who want to get involved, either this time around, I imagine it's going to be a little too late, but for next year, where should they go? And also, for tickets.
Everything can be found at our website, which is imaginenative.org. It's the full word imagine, the full word native.org. Everything is there, from volunteering to donations to our program to our downloadable catalog. Everything's on the website, so they can certainly keep in touch with that. And it's a brand new website this year, so we're excited about the relaunch of that as well.
Well, that sounds great, Jason, and thank you for your time. Any last words for those listeners out there?
There really is something for everyone at Imaginative. Take 20 minutes with a nice cup of tea, look through our program. There's definitely something you'll find that will interest you. So come along, bring your friends, family. We'd love to see everyone there.
There you have it, listeners. Make sure to get out to the 13th Annual Imaginative Film Festival. Jimmy Gwich.
This edition of Nation Talk has been brought to you by Scotiabank. Respecting your past, trusting your future. Think what we can achieve together.